So Pastor Allen threw me off a four-wheeler. That's how I'll start. No, he didn't. Alex, is the thing working? Come on. Okay, here we go. So, I wish the story was better. And forgive me, I'm going to sit down and sit up. So if you want to move closer or away, that's okay. I'm going to be stationary today. But so the four-wheeler was parked. It wasn't moving. And I just fell off the thing in a spectacular way. So what I did was I dislocated my knee without tearing any of the tendons that you would think of. So like ACL, MCL, all that stuff. So my, sorry to get a little gross, but everybody just keeps asking. So hey, here's what happened. So my knee separated and my kneecap and everything slid, like from my perspective, to the right. So like everything came apart with the tendon, main tendon still holding. So basically what that means is I get to learn patience this year. It doesn't look like I'm having surgery. It's just a super, super long recovery time. So it's going to take, I've been down since January 1st, so I probably got another 3-ish to 6 months before I can maybe figure out if I can start walking again. And then if I re-injure it or if my knee doesn't hold, then I'm having surgery. So it's just kind of one of those weird long-term recovery kind of things. So I love when people kind of ask me, but I don't have a great answer. Like, how are you doing this week? I'm like, well, so I have been able to tie my shoes without, like, you know, getting my shoe on without standing up for the first time this week. So that's where I'm at progress-wise. So it's just going to take a long time. So I can put like a little pressure on it, but I'm going to physical therapy twice a week, and it's just a process. So, you know, hopefully this summer, this fall, I can start recovering. But I wanted to talk about just something. You know, having an injury is pretty neat in this regard, you know, because you're supposed to like have goals and stuff. Like when you start the year, you know, like that's, you're supposed to like things change and it's a new year, and everyone tells you that, and then I have some friends, and, you know, business-wise, and you're just like, okay, it's the new year, and it's starting. I can tell you, not being able to walk, some of my goals changed, like, pretty drastically. You won't, you know, some things I just didn't realize is some of my goals are just all of a sudden really simple. I think I want to try to remember everything I need in this room while Jen's still around, because I can't carry anything. Like, you won't believe how inconvenient that is. Like, just fixing a plate of food and carrying it to the table, I need help right now. It sounds ridiculous, but even the first month or so, even sitting was pretty challenging. I could only sit in a chair for, I don't know, probably an hour before I couldn't take it anymore. Like, just the blood flow and how swollen my knee was, like, that's about as long as I could go, which kind of sounds crazy. So I started thinking about how I have these really, really big goals, right, for my family and business and the church. And all of a sudden, now I'm worried about, like, getting dressed in the morning is a deal. Like, it takes a minute. Socks coming off and on is a pretty big challenge, honestly. And I started thinking about this idea of goals and then where we are as a church. And so, anyway, we're going to talk about goals in kind of a weird way. So right after high school, I had this awesome idea, and I think I heard the Lord. I just didn't know the journey it was going to be. I know I wanted to serve God, and I knew that I wanted to do something in the ministry eventually one day, and I had an opportunity to go to a little Bible school in Abilene, Texas. And thank goodness it was super cheap, because I didn't have any money, and our poor family didn't have any money, right? So it was a stretch just to move to Texas, much less pay for this little school. But I really felt like that's what God wanted me to do, is to go down to Abilene, Texas, and there's a great church down there. We've been friends with them for years and years, and that's what I did. I just said, okay, God, here we go. And so I really felt like the Lord wanted me there specifically to be around those people, right? And like most churches, like our church, you know, really there's a time slot for most activities, right? So it's evenings during the week. If there's going to be something, it's going to be in the evening. And then Sunday, right? Sunday is game day, right? That's the real important day. So I get down there, and I realize that I can't just go out and get any job. I have to find a job that works with that kind of weird schedule, right? Like because what's the point of going down there if I couldn't be around them? So I was like, okay, God, well, I don't, you know, I just have my high school diploma, which is a high school diploma, right? And I was like, okay. And then I grew up doing manual labor, doing furniture store stuff, right? Deliveries and repos and putting stuff together and working in a warehouse and driving trucks. And so that's really the only thing I knew, like how to make any money. So I walked into this furniture store, and it was beautiful. Like, you know, our family stores back then, like, were unique, right? Like, we didn't have a whole lot of money for decor and the building itself. You know, we fought rain real time, move furniture out of the flood zone. I mean, that's just kind of how I grew up. So I walked in the store, and it was built, I think it was built like in the 40s or 50s, and it was a car dealership, and it had it was an indoor car dealership. Like, there was no parking lot. So they built a building to sell cars, and for like, and you know, in Texas, right, they're crazy wealthy, right? And this was right next to oil country, and there's this indoor car dealership, and they built, I should have showed you pictures of it. It's a wedding venue now, actually, is what it's turned into. But they had these 1x1-inch tiles, a mosaic floor laid the entire store. Like, some of the most beautiful tile work you've ever seen. And this guy had this furniture store, and I just walked in cold and was like, I need a job. I pretty well think I know how to do all this. And they're like, you're hired. I went, okay. So the way their store operated, they ran 6 days a week. So, which was great, because I was just making, I think, like $1 over minimum wage. So that overtime was like real important back then, right? So there I go. So I'm working in this furniture store, and, you know, physical hard labor, and not making much money, but God is just teaching me all this stuff. And I think I heard God, but, you know, thank goodness I went to Abilene with like a couple of shorts and a couple of pairs of pants, because I couldn't afford to buy anything else, right? Like, the free t-shirts they gave at church, I wore those because I had to. You know, that's just where I was. Like, you know, I could afford to like food for myself, gas, pay the little bit of tuition that school cost. But like outside of that, Amazon packages were not showing up at my door daily, right? Like, it was pretty well, I was surviving financially. But spiritually, I was learning so much from these guys. They were just, they had a connection back then with Alan Vincent. You know, if you've been around a little while, you've heard his name. At the time, Alan was living pretty close to where Abilene was, so he was able to come to the church pretty often. So I was around these guys that I probably never would have got an opportunity to be around. So I was learning so much spiritually, but, you know, I had a goal, and, like, I wanted to marry this cute girl I met, and I'm broke as a joke. And I couldn't quite figure out the money thing, but all I knew is like God just kept telling me, and I was like, okay, God, I just felt like I was in the right job. I'm like, I'm dying here. Like, I'm making survival money, and I'm working 6 days a week pretty hard, and then my only day off, I'm serving the Lord, and that was just a pretty hard thing to maintain for a long time. But it's the first time, I think, especially since I moved out, that God taught me a lesson about goals. It's really interesting. Do you know if you go, like, try to go read about goals in the Bible, they're not really there? Like, there's no five-year plan. There's no, like, designated thing. But dang it, I'm an American. We have to have goals and a plan, and we got things to achieve in life. And I guess Jesus just forgot to mention that stuff. And I've never really figured that out. And this is when I very first started learning this lesson. So I'm working at the furniture store, and I had a partner, right? So you need at least one other person to carry furniture with you. So it was me and Tim. And Tim was he's a couple years older than me. He was married, and he had a little baby girl. And Tim had come from just poverty. Texas is kind of interesting. There's such a wealth divide, really. Like, you know, you'll be at a fast food restaurant, and half the restaurants, honestly, are multimillionaires, and then the other people work for the multimillionaires, you know? Like, Texas at the time, especially, like, the middle class wasn't really middle, right? There's this big, huge thing. So Tim came from, you know, Tim was that family that got donations for Christmas, and his poor mom did everything she could to make money, if you know what I mean, right? Like, he grew up pretty rough. He didn't have a dad. He grew up in poverty. He had met this gal in high school. They got married because she got pregnant. And, right, like, Tim had a rough, rough life, and he was my partner. So I was around Tim for 60, 65 hours a week, right? Like, pretty typical. And one day we were in the furniture truck and delivering, you know, to one of those wealthy Texas families, and the lady kind of begged us. She was just like, hey, I've got this old couch. Can you do something with it? And Tim looks at me, and he goes, yes, ma'am. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Like, we've never picked up used furniture before. So, you know, I don't know. I've only been there just a little while, and, you know, Tim was the lead guy. So, like, I just kind of went with it. I loaded it up, and Tim, like, we get in the truck, and Tim looks at me. He goes, you got to swear you won't tell. I was like, won't tell what? And he goes, you've got to swear. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting into, dude. Like, it sounded like a drug deal. And he goes, we're going to go see Mr. Lee. I went, who's Mr. Lee? And he goes, okay, I'm taking you. So we drive to this warehouse in town. And honestly, it did feel like a drug deal. Like, we pull up to these doors that are shut. Tim goes to the back door. Wham, wham, wham! Door slides open, and there's Mr. Lee. And Mr. Lee looks, and Tim's like, come on. So we load the couch. We carry this couch into Mr. Lee's place, and this place is full of used furniture. And Mr. Lee walks over to Tim, and he rolls off $100, and he hands it to Tim, and I'm like, what? And Mr. Lee, thank you. And then we get in the truck. I get in the truck, and, you know, it was, God bless it, Tim. I forgive you, but it wasn't even. 20s, and you get it, right? So I get a cut, and Tim's like, I swear, if you tell anyone, you're dead. You know, and I'm like, this is bizarre. And I heard the Lord say, this is it. was like, what's it? And he's like, yeah, this is it. So here's what happened. I figured out something that it's, you know what's up on the screen, relationships and results? I really thought the idea was to have a goal and to hit the goal, hit the target, right? Let me read you this real quick. So Proverbs, it's a really popular one, right? Your mama probably made you learn this one. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Okay. So when I met Mr. Lee, this is what God started teaching me. You know, when you have a goal, do you know what the problem, one of the problems is with having a goal? Is you start going after that goal, which that part's okay. Or if you have a desire or you have something internal that you want to fix, and you take something and you hold it up and you start going after that goal, it's kind of interesting. You know, in worship, we do this. We hold our hands up. And I started figuring out there's a reason that I really think that the Bible doesn't tell us to make a 5-year plan to go after a goal. Because if we're not super, super careful, we start worshiping the wrong thing. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think for me, a lot of times, without relationship, my goals, another way to say that would be, that's my own understanding. So here's what happened with Mr. Lee. So I kind of have this entrepreneurial business thing inside of me. I've always had it. And as soon as I saw Mr. Lee pay Tim $100, I went, oh my goodness, that's it. And I said, we don't need to hide this. We don't need to, like, this isn't like an under the table deal. So here's what it turned into. So I became Abilene, Texas used furniture broker no one ever heard of. So this is just what happened. So what I did was I went straight to the owner of the furniture store. I said, listen, I've got this idea. Let's start telling everyone that you sell furniture to that we'll take their used furniture. Like, we'll just take it, make it a service, just offer it. Like, we'll just make it go away. And I said, as long as you're okay with us making it go away, however me and Tim see fit. And he was like, oh, yeah, like, sounds good to me. Like, people will love that, right? This is, and I know, this is pre-Facebook Marketplace, okay? It was a real problem to get rid of stuff, especially big stuff. So, and these wealthy families that were buying $10,000, $15,000 worth of stuff, I mean, even, you know, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, they didn't care about the stuff. The room was already full when they went furniture shopping. Yeah. The stuff they left was a hassle. They instantly, right? Like, okay. So, but every once in a while, we also would get like a load full of, I mean, honestly, trash, like stuff you couldn't use. So then I went back to Mr. Lee. I said, Mr. Lee, here's the deal. If you want exclusive rights to the new used furniture people, then whatever we bring you, you've got to take. And not only do you have to take it, me and Tim need lunch money. So even if it's like straight into your dumpster, if we bring a truck to you, you've got to pay us something so that it's worth our hassle of hauling it. But the rest of the time, it's stuff you can use. You give us something fair, but low enough that you can still make markup and sell it. So that was basically our business model, is all of a sudden we started making money like 3, 4, 5 times more than we were making hourly at the furniture store, because we became this used furniture broker in the town that no one ever met. Our relationship was with our boss that owned the furniture store and Mr. Lee. That was it. Like, I kind of laughed, because by the time I left Abilene, Mr. Lee had expanded and had retail space, and like people were coming in and buying stuff, and you know, he had this secret that how is he getting all this stuff? And you know, like me and Tim would just have to laugh, because we're like, yeah, that was on that house last week. I know where it came from. And that was the first time that I kind of went through this process, because I had a goal, right? I wanted to marry this gal, and I wanted to like be able to buy stuff. And nobody told me at the time that going into the ministry for most people means you're broke. Like, that's not an avenue to make a whole lot of money. So what happened was, this relationship between these two men is God taught me something about this goal I had about making money. Was I made so much more money when it was about the relationship and not the goal. And I'm going to try to land that plane a little bit today. I have a lot of ideas around this, and the pastors, we talked about this the other evening, and I don't know, the next couple of months we might be flirting with this idea, but I want to lay that kind of foundational, is this idea that, which is so counterintuitive to the way I naturally think. It really is. So this verse, okay? Let me see. Okay, we're doing all right. So there is this guy I heard about last week, pretty famous actually. And he had a goal, and he had a goal, much like my friend Tim, is, you know, most of his life he grew up with, you know, in poverty and that kind of mentality. So he had this real big desire that he wanted to have $1 million. And, you know, he felt like that if he could reach $1 million, that would secure him financially, right? Like, if I could reach $1 million, I'm always going to have money. And this dude worked hard. He was in the insurance game, and even getting to that took him several years to be able to pass the test and get in and even afford nice enough clothes to act like he had enough money to sell to people. And, you know, he had this pretty big journey. And it took him, I think it took him like 5 or 6 years, and it consumed his life. Every decision, everything he did, every minute that he was awake, he had this idea to go towards money. And he ended up achieving it. So he gets to $1 million, and if you know anything about investing and compound interest and stuff, right? So you have $1 million, and if you're really, really smart, you can take that $1 million and invest it and use it and generate more money, right? So, but it was crazy. He gets to $1 million, and he's still full of fear. He's like, you know, I know how easy it is to lose it. I know, what if there's a medical thing? What happens? And he goes, okay, so I'm going to keep going. And he hires one of the top business consultants in our country. This guy charges $30,000 to meet with him once. That's meeting number one, 30 grand. So he hires this guy, gives him $30,000. For his first meeting with him. And then the guy decides, after he gets the $30,000, if he's going to keep you on as a client. Like, that's just to get his attention. After you hand him $30,000, then he decides, I like you or I don't. So the guy pays him, and ends up the guy liked him, and he's like, yep, I'll take you on, kind of apprentice style. And, you know, the teacher's making $30,000 an hour. And the dude spends the next 5 or 6 years studying, working hard, and he gets up to like 5 million in 3 years. And then another 4 or 5 years roll by, he's at 10. And then by the time he's been with this guy a decade, he's at 20 million or 25 million, I think. Something like that. And fear is just consuming his life. See, because his goal was fear-based, right? And it didn't have anything to do with the Lord. He was trying to meet a need. And he said, so I don't want to stop until I feel like I'm financially secure. Well, what he found out was the dollar figure in his bank account didn't change that feeling. Eventually, what happens to the gentleman is kind of sad. Eventually, he gets so full of fear and so scared of losing that 20, 25 million that he had, is he pulled out of all of his investments, all of them. Like not even interest-bearing stuff, like, because even that is a risk, technically. So he pulled them into a bank account, and he just shut his front door, and he hasn't come out since. So he's a multimillionaire that is scared to death about losing something that, in a real sense, is worthless because it's not helping anybody. It's not even helping him. He can't get past it. And I was like, man, isn't that interesting? That's a kind of an extreme example about goals. So I want to talk real quick. So, you know, like in Galatians, and it's all over the Bible, but Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow, like that idea. Like, okay, if you've been at church for any length of time, you can't get away without hearing about this seed thing and planting and reaping and where you plant it matters and, you know, is it good soil, is it bad soil and all this stuff. And I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, a seed's a miracle, isn't it? Like, it's unreal. Like, God created all the potential in the world in, like, this little bitty thing. And we, in the way God designed this world, isn't it crazy? We get to, in fact, he even asked us to, take that seed and plant it in the ground. And then God takes over. And the potential of that seed just explodes out of the earth, right? It's pretty incredible to me that that happens. So you take a seed and you plant it and you get one plant back. And like, let's go with corn, right? So you plant a kernel of corn and it grows into a stalk, and then you get 3 or 4 ears of corn off of it. And, I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, talk about a return on investment. One little piece of corn turns into, I mean, I don't know, probably 100x return. That's pretty wild. But we have to plant it. So you know what I've caught myself doing with goals and this relationship and results thing a few times in my life, and probably, if I'm honest, a few times a week sometimes? Is I'll be frustrated with the Lord, with myself, because my harvest isn't as big as I thought it should be. Well, here's the balance, right? Is it the seed's problem? Isn't that interesting? So if I want more corn, what do I have to do? I get to plant. So here's what I think. Relationships and results, this goal idea, like, I don't think it's true. It's about the relationship, not your goal. Here's what I would want you guys I just want to introduce this idea today. You know, the Bible is full of men and women that did some incredible things. And if you were to say it, if we were to use American vernacular, we probably say the goals that some of these people had, in a lot of cases, didn't just change their family tree, it changed nations, right? if these guys were in the news today, you know, they would talk about control of the news cycle. Nations were born out of what these men and women did. I mean, you know, David, Moses, Joshua, I mean, right? Like, you just kick your top 10 favorite Bible stories. And I just realized that all of those men and women, wasn't it so much more about the relationship? And through that relationship, God revealed how much bigger it would be. Like, I've just learned that in my life, that my goals, you know, I mean, just honestly, even me and Jen financially, if I would have set a dollar figure about how much I would earn or own, I promise you it'd be a lot smaller than what has ended up happening through my relationship with the Lord. Because God has stuff he wants to fund. And he wants to give money to people that are going to use it. I mean, I'm just being honest, that are going to use it for his kingdom. And that number's big. The world's big. There's a lot of needs. It's going to take a lot of cash. So here's the deal. Most of us, without thinking too hard, know whether there's an area in our life that we want to change. That's really one of the reasons that you create a goal, isn't it? Because there's pain. There's something you want to see changed, right? That's why my goals have changed since I got hurt. My knee hurts. I want to see change. I want to walk without crutches. So pain's really interesting. And out of pain or a result that I want to change, the secret is doing that with the Lord. That's really it. Like, that's the fun part. Is that little business idea that, quite honestly, was God's idea, I had to plant that seed. I had to have a fairly awkward conversation with the guy that owns a furniture store. I had to talk to Mr. Lee. I had to convince Tim that we weren't going to get fired by talking to the furniture owner. I had to do my part, even though it was God's idea. So it was God's seed. I just had to carry it and plant it and trust. Sometimes in the church, what do we call that? Faith. I had to trust that I was hearing the Lord and that that was the right thing. And the more times in my life that I don't mess this maneuver up, right? Having a goal and it goes up and up and up, until the point I lost sight of what's it about. The more times I do that, the more good results I get. A good harvest. So one thing that's super neat about this whole process, and this is what I want to introduce today, because I think we're in a few different buckets, big generalized buckets, right? Some of us have areas in our life that we're so okay with the results that we've given up hope. But if I was to ask you what your goal is or what you would want, you would tell me. And I'm talking about really tough things like family members that don't know the Lord, or real financial struggles, or a health thing, or a relationship thing, or a marriage that isn't so smooth, right? But a lot of us have lost hope in looking at even believing that result can change, right? And then there's some of us that are in a whole nother realm, and I think I've had both areas simultaneously in my life, right? Like, it's not one's worse than the other, it's just how it plays out. I've had other areas where I had a goal, and I was running towards that thing, And the Lord wasn't part of that process. In the Old Testament, I think one of the reasons the Old Testament's written that way is just to help us with this concept. And honestly, this is my opinion. In the Old Testament, they would call it an idol, right? That's something that it's anything other than the Lord that you worship. Well, that could be, you could worship your desire not to feel insecure. You could worship the idea of money, right? You could worship trying to prevent from fearing fearful, right? Depression, like some of these mental health terms that, you know, get thrown around a lot right now, which I'm grateful for. I'm glad our society has recognized that mental health is a real thing. I just can't wait till they catch up to know what the solution is for that. Because you can't look at a problem or a goal and have good fruit, good results without God. It's like mathematically impossible. I don't know if that's the right term, but like it's not possible. Everything good comes from God. Can we go back to that verse just real quick? I want to read it one more time. Because that's hard, right? That's hard for my brain. Because I really believe the Bible's true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I mean, that's different than the Constitution, the pursuit of happiness. My brain can't get me there. My own goals, my own desires. And you know, the funny thing that I've learned is the goal's not the problem. And in fact, oftentimes when the Lord is with me and through that relationship, I realize that goal needs to be set way further out. The problem is he wants to be with me. And if stuff or my brain or my own ideas prevent him from being part of that process, I know this sounds extreme, I'm worshiping the wrong fella. But Daniel, aren't goals good? Like, aren't we supposed to have a five-year plan? Aren't we supposed to have a New Year's resolution? Aren't we supposed to get educated and work hard? And man, I promise you, I'm more intentional than most in a lot of areas. But I'm learning that through the Lord, totally different, not through my own willpower. Like, I work hard. Man, I want to tell you guys something about this hurt knee too. And this is kind of weird for me to say because it hasn't happened yet, but it's just faith. I just know, like, okay. So physical therapy, start to finish, takes me about an hour to go through a routine. And my doctor team, the surgeon, the physical therapist, Kylie, you won't believe how many people are involved with a busted knee. It's neat. There's like five or six of them. But, and I'm all new to this. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. So they asked me about my personality. They asked me about how aggressive I am and like all this stuff. Like, honestly, it felt like I was laying down on the couch and telling them my feelings. I was like, what in the world does this have to do with my knee? And God just blessed me. So I ended up having this physical therapist that's been doing it like 25, 30 years. And like probably an hour and a half straight, we did nothing except talk about me, my feelings, what my goals were in a sense, physically. What did I do? What did I do beforehand? What do I do for fun? Like, he wanted to know all this stuff. And it was really interesting. And he goes, well, Daniel, you not getting injured again is actually the most important part of your recovery right now. We have to give your body time to heal. So what I found out later was the reason that he was asking me all these questions is he gave me a bunch of rules, a ton of things that I can't do. So my first therapy appointment, honestly, the reason he was asking me all that stuff was he told me all the different ways I shouldn't use my knee, because if I do, then I risk long-term injury or kind of immediate surgery. And the surgery is really, really tough. It's kind of a 3 to 6 month recovery time just on the surgery part. It's a tough one. So he goes, Daniel, the most you can do is you can do your PT routine 3 times a day. Well, I'm pretty motivated to walk again. So my life has changed since that doctor's appointment in a lot of ways. I'm pretty intentional when I'm awake. There isn't many hours in the day that I don't have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to be doing and working on. So all of a sudden, I have in my life a 3-hour interruption every day. It's honestly affected me way more than the knee pain. That part's affected me a ton, because working in an extra 3 hours of me, like daylight time, of having to go through this routine, that is a huge time sink for me, right? Like, what is that, 16, 17, 18 hours a week or something that just gone, right? And the pain and the muscles that I need to work on, I actually have to use my brain. So listening to an audiobook, I can do it about half the time, but the rest of the time I have to like stare at my knee because I'm actually having to make muscles work. And I have to concentrate, right? Okay, since that's happened, do you know that I have become more productive at work? It's caused me to focus even more. And I'm really excited in a sense, in a way that I've been injured, because I just know that my company, this church, our family is gonna see growth like we've never seen before, because I just freed up about 20 hours a week. So guys, look out. As soon as I got the walking thing down, I've got that extra time, and I've realized how precious time is. What you focus on is pretty much a direct correlationship to this relationships and results. What you have your eye on, what you think about, and we're going to do our best to help everybody through this process, no matter what bucket you're in. If you have areas in your life where the results that you've just accepted them, or areas in your life to where you have a goal that the Lord isn't with you all the way yet, if I can say it that way. Because, man, when you get with him in either scenario, with your focus, right? So that's the whole seed thing. When we take this miracle of the seed that God has given us and we plant it intentionally with focus and with him, man, you talk about a harvest every single time. Sometimes we use other words for that. When something drastically changes, we use words like miracle. And I promise you, there are miracles in your life that God, I don't know why I always have this picture in my head of the Lord, but I just feel like he's, I know it's silly, but to me, it's like he's on the edge of the clouds, like with his hands cupped over him, and he's looking down, and he's just waiting in crazy anticipation for his kids, for either scenario, to see those results that you've like given up hope, or for him to show you, oh son, oh daughter, man, that gentleman that hasn't left his house in a decade now, you can't find peace in money.
that's not right. And sometimes where it's really tricky is, you know, we do this seed digging thing. My dad's been doing that for a really long time. And sometimes the issue in somebody's life, gosh, it sounds so good. You're like, how can that be bad? I want to be a great mom. I want to be a great dad. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to feel stupid. I don't want to ever struggle with fill in the blank again. And all of a sudden, we made a goal in our life without the Lord, and it just sneaks up on you. And 20 years later, you real slowly, right? You just keep raising that thing up and up and up until all of a sudden that little goal turned into what we called in the Old Testament an idol. And every single time that we do that, there's bad fruit. And God loves us so very much that he's willing, in fact, he designed it, to use pain so that we can go back to him. Isn't that crazy? Okay, so I hope that's okay. So we're just kind of introducing this idea. I know this was a lot all in one deal. Here's what I hope we could do today is just introduce this idea of being open to the thought that areas where you've lost hope, where your results aren't good, financially, emotionally, spouses, kids, or areas that you're driving hard towards right now, I would just ask that question. That's where I started with Mr. Lee, was just believing, it's like, God, your ideas are a lot better than mine. And the faster that I do that, the faster that I get to see that harvest. That's incredible. It's pretty wild. You know, and as I've gotten a little older, hopefully I get a little bit faster. You know, that Mr. Lee lesson, that cost me like a year and a lot of labor and sweat. But boy, that lesson was worth it. And I'm hoping as I get to raise my kiddos and be around you guys and the next generation, it won't take them quite as long to learn that the first time. Because I've had to relearn that lesson a lot of times over my life. Any time that I've let, you know, something sneak up. Oh, shoot, there's Miss Sharon. Yeah, come on, girl. So, you know, I would say stand up because that's what people are supposed to do, but y'all stay seated because I'm not standing. I just want to pray real quick, and you know, when you meet the Father, I don't feel guilt, I don't feel shame, I don't feel messed up that it's like, dang, I did it again. I went after a goal. Or I've given up hope, and that's how this thing's always going to be, right? Like, I have people in my family that I just have to continue to go back to the Lord because, man, they're not living like I thought they could. They don't know him. And sometimes I'm just like, well, is that ever going to change? Because I love them. I care a lot about them. And they're just living. They're running. They're trying to cover up pain. They're trying to numb it. They're trying to do it on their own. And they have problem after problem after problem. And then sometimes I set a goal. And, you know, the cool thing about the Lord, like when he's looking at me from the cloud, to complete that picture, right? As soon as I look up, I think he does like this front flip thing and comes straight down right next to me. I think he's there. And he never, never, never makes me feel bad. He says it's okay. It's pretty cool. So, okay. So let's just pray. So God, I just thank you, Lord, that you care so much for us, that you designed this whole thing, every creature, every piece of dirt, everything in this entire world to point back to you. Even our desire to succeed and to do things and to, like, all of it, every bit of it points straight to you, God. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with me. Every time I've messed that up, yeah, thank you for loving. God, I just kind of declare it, God. Grace Fellowship and our little church, God, we're going to be a people that relies on you, God. The relationship with you is the goal. The faith, the desires of our heart, God, we're turning it straight to you. You dream so much bigger than we ever could. And you have the absolute best for us and our family and our church. God, I just thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Amen. Cool. So I don't know. We could have some people pray. So yeah, if you do want prayer, we'll have a team up front, and you guys can stand. I'm not, if you want, and we'll let you guys out of here. Thank you, guys. Everyone, have a great day.